Jim continued his speech. "The only time that rose-colored glasses don't work is when you take them off," he said. "So join me in this vision of being all that we can be, for this is the place where the 1st Earth Battalion begins. This is the place where you have the right to think the unthinkable, to dream the impossible. You know we're here to create the most powerful set of tools for the individual and his team, for that is the difference between where the American soldier is today and where he needs to be to survive on the battlefield of the future." "You know what this story is about?" Jim asked me in his garden in Hawaii. "It's the story of the creativity of an institution you would expect to be the last to open the door to the greater realities. Because you know what happened next?"
"What?" I asked.
"I was immediately appointed commander of the 1st Earth Battalion." The disclaimer at the bottom of Jim's operations manual had read that this was not the official position of the United States military. Nonetheless, within weeks of its publication, soldiers throughout the Army began seriously to try and implement his ideas. Somewhere in a strip mall in the heart of Silicon Valley is a building that looks like a long-abandoned and entirely undistinguished warehouse. Nonetheless, busloads of tourists turn up from time to time to photograph the exterior, because this is the building where Silicon Valley began. It started life as an apricot storage warehouse, but then Professor William Shockley moved in here and co-invented the transistor and grew silicon crystals in the back room and won the Nobel Prize for his work in 1956. By the late 1970s, this building, 391 San Antonio Road, had a new owner called Dr. Jim Hart. He was just as much of a pioneer in his field as Shockley, just as much of a visionary. But his science was and remains somewhat weirder. Dr. Hart still works here, charging civilians $14,000 for a week-long brain training retreat. "Mention the keyword hemicoherent and get a $500 discount," says the publicity pack, in a series of tiny offices at the back. They are dark, lit only in fluorescent purple. The clocks have no hands, and the place reminded me a little of Disney World's Twilight Zone Tower of Terror ride. I had come to believe that Michael Ekanis was not, after all, the fabled goat's terror. I had decided Glenn Wheaton had been mistaken, beguiled by the Ekanis legend, and that it was another Jedi warrior altogether. Perhaps Dr. Hart might be able to provide the answer, for it was he who retuned the brains of the Jedi warriors in the late 1970s and took them to a level of spiritual enlightenment within which staring a goat to death was apparently possible.